All right. We will get rolling. I don't have a handout, but I do have a PowerPoint. So we're just going to do the first part of Revelation chapter 13 today, and then we want to take a few extra minutes at the end today to spend some extra time in prayer. So, we must have quite a few people in the kitchen still, yeah? You know, it's a real problem when your people like each other so much they don't want to leave the table. What do you say? Stop being nice to one another and get into church. Stop enjoying each other's company. This is really annoying. It's a good thing. 1 through 10. Okay, so we're going to do Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. So this is where, Revelation chapter 13 is where we really dive in to the Antichrist and to the false prophet. So today we're just going to look at the Antichrist. And so this is where we really start drawing from that information. We have to go way back in our memory banks to when we studied Daniel, because this is where we're going to start pulling in the visions from the book of Daniel. And so I'm going to show you all of that here in a second. And so I'm just reading the first few verses in Revelation 13. It says, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadem on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority." So we're going to stop there for a second. So we have a comparison taking place. I mean, we're really drawing, if you remember the images from Daniel, and I'll show those to you here in a second, we really have a comparison going on, or a similar vision taking place. And so one of the things that we want to look at is that how these things are similar. And so, just as a reminder, so here's the images from Daniel's chapters 2 and 7. So we have the idol of, with the different, that represented the different empires, and then we have the animals that represented the different empires. And so you can see just by looking at those and what we just read, the similarities already. And so, some of the comparison, some of the similarities, and the references are all up there. I'll print this out for you next week so you have a copy of all of this stuff. So we have, they both refer to the beast from the sea. They both refer to the 10 horns. They both refer to blasphemy and speaking the great things. And so it's all those things that they're going to speak out against the Lord. We have the leopard, the bear, the lion. Those are all a repeat. The great power that is going to be given is referred to. The 42 months are the 3.5 years, the time, times, and half a time. So we keep running into this. This is where that 70th week of Daniel is so critical. They're going to conquer the saints, so the believers that are here during that time, the global domination and authority, captivity, sword, flame, plunder, worship, image. So all of these things we see in both Daniel and Revelation, which is why we studied Daniel before we studied Revelation, because all of the imagery from the book of Daniel becomes really critical right now as we begin going through this. The other thing that, you know, this individual that's being described that we're going to look at, this is the Antichrist. This is the person that Satan is going to give authority to and power to. And this is going to be the person that rises to power. It's going to be a global authority at that point in time. I mean, we already have those kind of figures in our world today. And so this person is, you know, we're headed, we're so close. Everything is poised where it wouldn't take a lot for us to end up in some sort of world economy. That's a real easy. It's literally the click of a mouse button to get us to some sort of global economy. And from there, it's just a few more steps to get to a place where we have, you know, a global leadership. We already have that in place in the UN and, you know, the World Economic Forum. And we have all of these things that are already in place to poise us for those things. And so, you know, when you start looking at this stuff, you know, years ago when they were reading Revelation and studying Revelation, looking at these things, they would go, man, how is that going to happen? You know, or we're going to look at how he's wounded and then he, all the things, and everybody sees it. And 20 years ago, you'd go, man, how are they going to do that? How is that going to happen? Well, today we go, oh, we can tell you how, Facebook Live. You know, everything is in place. But before we dive into those things, one of the things we need to understand is the contrast that the Antichrist is going to have. The Antichrist is not a rival to Jesus, although you could see it that way. He is opposing Christ. And we're going to look here at how he opposes Christ. And there's all kinds of scriptures. And again, I'll print this all out for you so you don't have to try and write all that down. But we can see all of these things and all of the contrasts that take place. So Christ came from above, right? He was sent from heaven. The Antichrist, we see from Revelation chapter 11 that we studied a few weeks ago, that he came from the pit. So they're opposites. They oppose each other. Christ came in his Father's name. The Antichrist is going to come in his own name. He's all about self-glorification. Christ was humble. The Antichrist exalts. Christ was despised by the people. In fact, the religious leaders had him crucified. The Antichrist is going to be admired. Christ was exalted. The Antichrist is going to be cast down to hell. I mean, we can just keep going through, you know. Christ was here to do his Father's will. The Antichrist to do his own will. Jesus came to save. And the Antichrist comes to destroy. And so, you know, there's, you know, scroll down a little further. Christ is the man of sorrows. The Antichrist is the man of sin. Christ was the mystery of godliness. He was God manifest in the flesh, and the Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity. He will be Satan manifest in the flesh. Satan coming to you know, take place among the people and lead them. And so these two oppose one another. I mean, it's really the ultimate battle of good and evil. And so we just want to, you know, we want to understand that. And the Antichrist is going to do everything he can to make himself appear godlike. So, let's look at some of these verses a little bit more. Verse 1 says, and 2 say, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its feet, or on its horns, and blasphemous names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And To it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. Okay, so we're just going to break this out. The sea refers to the Sea of Nations that the revived Roman Empire is going to be pulled up out of. The horns, 10 horns and 7 heads. This is when we go back again to Daniel and we look back at that. And this is where we come up with the Roman Empire. Because the description is a clear, it clearly goes back to the images that Nebuchadnezzar saw and that Daniel saw. And we see how they describe these different empires that ruled the world essentially at one point in history. And we know from the book of Daniel how these empires succeeded one another. Now, the Roman Empire isn't in a powerhouse in today's world. But the Roman Empire does still have significant influence throughout the world. What is one of the main branches and most wealthy religions in the world? The Roman Catholic Church. So there's still heavy influence. And even the way we do a lot of our governing and, you can even look at the way we build roads. It all goes back to the Roman Empire. They are the ones that developed. We made it better. But they are the ones that a lot of the things that we do today stem from them. There's so much influence from that region throughout the rest of the world. And so we can look at these things and we know from these passages in Revelation that the Roman Empire is going to rise out of the Sea of Nations. They're going to come back to power. And we've put maps up in the past and you can see, how a lot of those nations that were part of the Roman Empire are already aligned with one another today. And how they all surround Israel. And how everything is going to be focused, like it is right now, on Israel. So the body of the beast we see as the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Okay, we see the beast that I saw was like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. And so we can see those animals represented here from the book of Daniel. And so we know that when the Roman Empire comes back into power, the leopard represents the Grecian Empire. And there's going to be heavy influence from that region. We know that the bear is the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the mouth of the lion is the Babylonian Empire. And we know that the Middle East is where a lot of this stuff has taken place in the Babylonian Empire. They've been trying to resuscitate that for the last couple of decades. And so we can see, especially in today's world, especially with the wars taking place with Israel right now, with everybody attacking them, these places are players in that. And so, we see all of these things taking place. Verse 3 says, one of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? And the beast, verse 5, the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. There's that number again. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world, and the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So there's a lot of stuff right there. So something is going to take place where the beast is going to receive a mortal wound and be healed. Now there's the thought is that not everybody is going to like fall in line, because we are a rebellious lot. And some people are going to resist as the Antichrist tries to usurp or to push his authority upon the world. And there's going to be some that push back. And so the thought that is there's going to be something take place where essentially the Antichrist is going to, he's going to receive a mortal wound. He's going to be killed. But he's going to be healed. Now remember, you have a whole group of people that are looking for somebody to establish a political system that is going to rescue the Jews. And the Antichrist is going to have been saying all along, no, I'm here for you. Remember, there's a peace treaty. All these things are coming into play. And then all of a sudden, this wound is going to take place. And he's going to be revived back from the dead. So he's going to be resurrected, essentially, or that's what it's going to appear like. And the people that were resisting and opposing, it says that the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. So everybody's going to see what's happening, and they're going to marvel at what takes place. And those that weren't worshiping are going to begin to worship him, the beast, the Antichrist. And it's around this time that the thought is that at some point in this period, Satan is basically going to indwell, right, possess that person. Satan can't, he's not God, he can't create. He has to use what is here. And just like demons will indwell people, we have the story where Jesus cast the demons out and he cast them into the pigs and he says, "Who are you?" And they say, "We are legion," meaning many. Many, many, many. And he cast them out and they go into the pigs and they... And so Satan is, you know, the same as all of those demons. He's just more powerful and he's the leader of the group. And so the thought is he's going to at some point indwell the Antichrist so that he can lead all of these things. And he is going to blaspheme God and he is going to desecrate the temple and all of these things. Remember, he's in his last 42 months and he's not dumb. He knows his days are numbered and we go down kicking and screaming when we know we are at the end of things. It says, they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" Because of all the things that he's been able to do. And that's where he begins to blaspheme and say all of these things. He opens his mouth to utter blasphemies against God. He makes war on the saints and begins to conquer them. And so this is, you know, we're in the Great Tribulation at this point, and things are bad. Especially if you are somebody that has turned your life over to Christ during the tribulation. And so these are all of the things that are going to take place. He's going to rule over everyone. This is where we come up with, okay, there's going to be one world government. It says he's going to have authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name is basically everybody that hasn't accepted the Lord or turned to Jesus. And then it says, verse 10, if anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain by the sword, with the sword he must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. And so the persecution is going to be unprecedented, and it's going to take endurance and faith for the saints to to withstand. It's going to be a dark time. And then, we talked last week about those that are going to be go to the cities of refuge and hide out, and God is going to provide for them. But those that aren't part of that, it's going to be a difficult time. I mean, at this point in time, everything is going to be in full swing, where they're not going to be able to buy or sell. If you've got food storage, they're going to be looking for your house. Because we're not going to be here. And it's going to be an intense time. So, it's going to be an intense time. So this is our kind of our first major description and revelation of the Antichrist, and kind of where we really begin to see what kind of power and authority he is going to put out upon the people. And it's going to be intense. We have any questions?